This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, we now bring you a discussion on measures to prevent cybercrime against women and children. The participants are Dr. Pawan Duggal, cybersecurity expert, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.
As we are getting more and more dependent on technology, well, call it technological advancement if you will, as India gets more digitized, we are also threatened by crimes in the cyberspace. Needless to add, women and children are most vulnerable. For more on this, we are now joined by our cyber expert, Mr. Pawan Duggal. Welcome, Pawanji, to our studios.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you on your program.
Pawanji, what exactly does one mean by cybercrime, and what makes women and children particularly as a soft target?
Today, any criminal activity done on the internet or done using via the internet, using computers, computer systems and computer networks, qualifies as a cybercrime, provided it's done with a criminal intention. So earlier, cybercrime only used to refer to criminal activities on the internet, but over a period of time, now the exact ambit of its definition has substantially been expanded to include even computer-related crimes. So today, I think any kind of an activity that you can do with a criminal intent would qualify as a crime, as a cybercrime. And that's the subject matter of immense attention of lawmakers and governments across the world. And that's the reason why different governments have begun to start coming up with new dedicated legal frameworks so as to specifically deal with the issue of regulation of cybercrime.
Why are women and children particularly a soft target?
Well, I think today we have to realize that we are undergoing a new kind of a sociological phenomenon in the Indian context. I see two concurrent revolutions happening in India, which will explain why women and children become soft targets of cybercrimes. The first, Indians are sharing data about their personal, professional, social lives on the internet without thinking about the legal ramifications concerning the same. And the second sociological paradigm is the great Indian recording revolution. Indians seem to be recording a lot of data without even knowing how they will deal with such data. So women and children, they are likely to become more softer targets of cybercrimes as we go forward. Also, by and large, women and children are far more vulnerable, primarily because today the mobile revolution has ensured that we have thrust internet in the hands of women and children, but we have not made them either empowered or sensitized about the ramifications of how you will land up using the internet. Internet is like a big, big ocean, which has got a lot of big fish, which is going to come and eat you. In this internet ocean, there are so many pedophiles who are waiting to pounce upon young children, young girls and boys, so that you not just sexually exploit them, but also go ahead and steal their data. In addition, women are being targeted for trusting people online, and often we find that both women and children are made targets of various kinds of cybercrimes. That's why, because there's lack of appropriate awareness amongst women and children, they likely are becoming more fertile targets of cybercrimes.
When you talk about awareness, do you think that our NEP has incorporated any chapter or any awareness program? Because children nowadays, as you just mentioned, mobile is in the hands of small children as well, because they are using it as a means for passing time for games. And then it gradually leads to other things like internet and so on. But we need to be responsible. We need to be aware as consumers of the net. Is our education system geared up to be responsible towards the usage of internet?
I think our education system requires a big overhaul. The reason for this is very clear, that we have not made our education system in sync with the existing ground realities of cyberspace. Yes, the NEP has done some substantial steps forward. It's encouraged the adoption of cybersecurity and more courses on artificial intelligence and given people the flexibility. However, you have to start from the basics. The basics are that Indians are giving devices to their children at very young ages of 2 and 3. So you are actually thrusting them into the deep seas of the internet without even empowering them and without even training them on how they can protect themselves. That's the reason I have been advocating and have been advising the central government that you must start inculcating cyber law and cyber security education as part of the school curriculum from the first standard onwards.
Right.
So that at least once you make it as a part of your education process, you are not only going ahead and disseminating more information But more significantly, you are empowering these youngsters so that they become emboldened netizens and digital users of the country. And that's the reason I think we need to do a lot in terms of revisiting on our education ecosystem to make it topical with dealing with the challenges of cyber crimes and cybersecurity breaches, and also for the purposes of sensitizing children that they have to be responsible, ethical, and they have to be transparent. And also at the same time, they have to be extremely sensitive about how they are going to go ahead and deal with their information in terms of sharing and dissemination.
Right. Probably it's time to talk about safe online habits and etiquette. Well, I'm sure that as we talk about it on our program, similarly, many such programs will be held, considering that it has become a threat to our society. Pavanji, if somebody were to become a victim of cybercrime, how is one to go about it?
Well, the government of India has provided you a couple of remedies of where to go once you become a victim of cybercrime. First is, you need to call up the National Cybercrime Helpline number at 1930. This is the number which you need to call up. This is manned by law enforcement agencies. They have tie-ups with all banks and all other agencies. They will be the first port of call to report a cybercrime. Number two, the government has also now introduced very successfully the National Cybercrime Reporting Portal, which is available at cybercrime.gov.in. And this particular portal is allowing you the flexibility to go ahead and report any kinds of cybercrime from the comfort of your home or office or even using your mobile phone. Number three, a number of state police have on their state police official website allowed the facility of filing online FIRs. You can also go and register an online FIR. The thumb rule is the time to be quiet is now gone. If you become a victim of cybercrime, you need to stand up and speak. Why? It's not shame to acknowledge the fact that you have become a victim of cybercrime. Almost everybody is becoming a victim of cybercrime.
When one makes a complaint at 1930 or through the portal, in the cyberspace, what kind of evidence are we talking about? It's the screenshots, it's the mails, what kind?
Well, any electronic evidence that you have in your power and possession, which can show that you have become a victim of a cybercrime, needs to be appended along with your online cybercrime reporting portal complaint. This could be in the form of an SMS, an MMS, a WhatsApp message, an audio file, video message, email, or any other electronic record of any kind whatsoever. All you need to do is to make a copy of the same and upload the copy. And please don't interfere with the original electronic evidence. Don't tamper with it. Because when police is going to come investigating your case, they will require access to the original records, which must be appropriately then sealed and sent for forensic examination. So therefore, as a user, you have to make sure that you accidentally or inadvertently do not go ahead and tamper with the authenticity, veracity, or correctness of the incriminating electronic evidence which you want to rely upon for the purposes of proving the fact that you have become a victim of a cybercrime.
Pavanji, when we talk of social media, now as you just mentioned that today mobile is in the hands of everyone, from a small child to an old person. As social media, we also find a lot of sexual exploitation happening for girls in this space. How do you think girls can be cautious about this? What kind of tips would you like to give?
Well, as it's traditionally said, you never know whether you're talking to a horse or a donkey on the internet because everybody is anonymous. So therefore, let's presume that we will only befriend somebody after we have independently verified his or her existence. So meeting somebody in person is a first starting point. So let's not believe what we see online because today is the age of artificial intelligence.
Yes.
And now with deepfakes coming in such a remarkable manner, what you see online may not necessarily even be real. So don't trust anyone. Learn to incorporate distrust and mistrust as an integral component of your mindset. Only trust information after you have independently verified the authenticity or veracity or the correctness of existence or contents of such kind of information. Number two, don't show your vulnerability online. Number three, you need to be very focused, limited in your output, what you generate online. The entire world does not need to know what you're doing since morning till night.
Right.
The entire world does not need to know what photographs you're taking where, when, and that too with a smartphone, and that too you're uploading it online without even scraping it, giving all the metadata therein, including your location, your latitude and longitude. I think the time has come. We have to be studiously careful of our data so that we can try to protect and preserve whatever limited privacy of ours remains, both personal privacy and data privacy.
You mentioned artificial intelligence. I was coming to that. Is it a bane or a boon? Because as you mentioned, deep fakes are there. Not just that, artificial intelligence in commercial sector is going to revolutionize our lives. GPS is already there with us. How do you think we can deal with artificial intelligence? We are also seeing that fake voices can be created in cyberspace. How can that be tackled?
Well, this is the phenomenon on the rise. I recently did a matter where the parents were intimated that this kid which has gone to school has been kidnapped.
Hmm.
And when the parents insisted on talking to the child, they were made to talk to a child who was crying, howling, wanting the parents' help. The parents were asked a sum of 20 lakhs. The parents tried negotiating, but having left with no option, parents decided to give the money, transferred the money, and only to find later on their child had never been kidnapped and was all the time attending school, and that they had been foxed and defrauded by deep fake of their child's voice sample. Now, these kinds of things are going to proliferate with each passing day. Just as time we don't have dedicated laws to regulate the misuse of emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, my gut feeling is that these kinds of instances are going to be constantly on the rise. Therefore, it's all the more important not only to sensitize children, girls, but also females and males as well about the dangers of misuse of AI that can be leashed against them and how they need to be more careful when they are now going at and listening into any information, reading any information and relying upon the same. Time has come where we all must inculcate an element of distrust and mistrust in our mindsets. Let's not trust anything that we see, hear, or watch. Till such time, we have independently verified the authenticity or veracity of the same. So that's what the direction the world is going to. And I think we need to also be mindful of this emerging trend.
As a cyber expert, I'd like to ask you, what does one mean by a strong password? Because another aspect of insecurity in the cyberspace or risk in cyberspace is that of hacking. How would you explain that? How would you say that what a strong password should be?
Let me begin by saying that there are two kinds of people in the world. One, who know that they have been hacked, and two, who do not know that they have been hacked. That will, in a nutshell, tell you the huge, rampant, widespread dissemination and presence of hacking. Now, having said that, passwords become your entry door points. Now, most of the Indians still make their passwords with their own names or names of their wives, their dogs, or their birthdays as part of the same. I think it's time that we need to realize that we need to be more mature when we create passwords. Your passwords today have to be alphanumeric. There must be alphabets. There must be numbers. There must be special signs. Preferably, don't have a pattern. Your password, it's going to be better. Much more preferable is that you can think of a password or a word in your native language and then write that in English along with special characters. Chances of such password being hacked is going to be virtually negligible. So let's learn to have alphanumeric intelligent passwords. Let's learn to change our passwords every 15 days. Let's learn not to rely upon password managers, because if your password manager is hacked, then your entire passwords are going for six. And let's learn not to share our passwords with anyone. And I think now with quantum computing coming in, passwords are soon going to be history, because with the biggest quantum computer already having been developed with 50 qubit quantum computing facilities, your quantum computer is going to break your passwords in the next few minutes. If that's the case, the world will have to look at a new way how electronic authentication will have to be done. And that's the reason why post-quantum cryptography is evolving as a very important, interesting area of legal research and discipline.
Thank you, Pavanji. You've really thrown light on some very important aspects of cybercrime in general and against women and children. I'm sure our listeners would benefit from all of these. Thank you very much for joining us at Akashwani.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to be with you on your program on Akashwani.
You were listening to a discussion on measures to prevent cybercrime against women and children. The participants were Dr. Pavan Duggal, cybersecurity expert, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashwani. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIRT Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.